You have your Bibles this morning, and always come to church with your Bible, church folks. Your Bible is your weapon. You always want your weapon. It's the sword of the Lord.
Amen.
We're going to be looking at some scriptures in 1 Thessalonians, of all places. First of all, we're going to look at two scriptures, and then we're going to look at a scripture back in Thessalonica. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse number 10. You might want to mark this verse in your Bible if it's not marked. The scripture says, "And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." There's wrath coming, folks. Now look over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And verse 10. And somehow I have missed, verse 9. "For God hath not appointed us to wrath." Mark that verse. I put verse 10, but it's verse 9. "But to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ." God has not appointed the church to wrath. We're going to miss the wrath of God that's coming during the 7 years of tribulation. Now, one other scripture in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. I'm giving you a moment to get there, because this also is giving us the same information. "Therefore, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." After you've been saved, you're no longer condemned. You become a child of God. So no wrath appointed for us. And when we talk about us, we're talking about the church of Jesus Christ. So I want you to listen to our message today of what's going to happen to the world in the very near future. And it could start any second. It could start any second. The condition of this world, folks, is troubling. On one side, I am so happy. I am so excited because I know I'm about to be in heaven. The Lord is about to come. The signs of the age are all around us. We're in the season for the Lord to come. Not setting a date, but the season. All the signs are pointing to it. We may not be here much longer. There's going to be first a rapture of the church. It could happen before we get out of here. It's intimate. That means there's no other thing in the Bible, no other scripture, that's saying something has got to be fulfilled before the rapture. There's nothing like that. So it's intimate. It could happen at any second. The message is, be ready any second to be gone. Wouldn't you hate to be caught up and you're a Christian and you're doing something you ought not to be doing? Wouldn't that be embarrassing? It'll happen with many. They weren't in church. They didn't support the work of the church. They were engaged in activities that was not proper. Yeah, Christians do that. So there's going to be a rapture of the church when all born again. Just born again Christian. Not those that say they're Christian. Born again Christians. Who the Lord has made a change in their life. This world does not know what's going to befall it suddenly without warning. All the world about us today that's not concerned about what's going on, whether the Lord could come or not, they just don't know what can suddenly befall them. And are they going to get the shock of their life? Are they going to get the shock of their life? Faster than one can blink their eye, every true believer will be suddenly gone. Little children will be snatched up probably, and their mom and dad's left behind in many cases. Jesus made this promise, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am you may be also. He made that promise 2,000 years ago. And we've been waiting for that promise to be fulfilled. It's going to be fulfilled. Yes, sir. If the prophecies of the Old Testament concerning Jesus coming the first time were fulfilled to the T, they will be fulfilled about his second coming and of the rapture that Paul talked about in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The Apostle John tells us in the book of Revelation what the Lord revealed to him about the coming tribulation, which will burst forth after the rapture of the church. After the rapture, when millions of people are missing, millions more will suddenly realize the greatest mistake of their life. And now they got to face the wrath of God for 7 years. We're going to talk about this today. And if you're wise, you will be ready now. Don't plan on getting ready tomorrow. Get ready now. You may not have tomorrow. The Apostle John is warning us. In Revelation chapter 6 and 1, turn in your Bible. You may want to follow along with me today. Revelation 6 and 1, and I saw when the Lamb is Jesus. He's seen as the slain Lamb that's alive now in Revelation 6, 1. He opens up one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder. And one of the four beasts that's around the throne of God, crying, Holy, 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 said, Come and see. The Lamb is the one standing before God's throne in chapter 5. He's the only one worthy to take that book out of the hand of God. He's the only one found worthy to take that book. In verses 6 and 7 of Revelation 5, I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. Jesus, the Lamb of God, that died on the cross for the sins of the world and that rose again the third day, qualifies because of what he did to take this book out of the right hand of God the Father. And this book will contain the wrath of God and judgments upon a Christ God-hate world. The contents of this seven-seal scroll are the first seven-seal judgments which are going to be poured out upon this earth during the 7 years of tribulation because of the sins of unrepentant people. And those are what we're going to be discussing in our message today. Just the seal judgments and the four horsemen that will go galloping across the earth when this scroll is broken open by the Lord Jesus Christ. The first of these sealed judgments are four horsemen riding different colored horses. This is all symbolic language, yet revealing a real truth of what's going to be happening to the world after we who are saved have been called out, because we're not appointed to this judgment and wrath of God. We're going to be home with the Lord. We're going to be free at last from the troubles and the trials and the hardships of this life here. Praise the Lord, what a day that's going to be, folks. Boy, victory in Jesus, amen. What a song that is. Victory in Jesus. Next time you sing it, think about what a victory it is in Jesus Christ. The first of these sealed judgments are these four horsemen riding these different colored horses. And it seems we could almost hear the hoofbeats of them coming racing across the way, led by the Antichrist on a white horse. A white horse sitting, straddling him. Behind him will be the false prophet. The condition of the world today demands the judgment of God. Turn on your television and you look at the leaders of this country today. You look down the streets, how people are rioting today. Not just in this country, but all over the world. The condition of the world demands God bring judgment. What a shock the world will face when it wakes up one day and all the believers are gone. Imagine riding on an airplane and the pilot was a Christian. Or riding in a car and the driver was a Christian. And many other places, when Christians are removed, what destruction will suddenly begin to take place. But when that takes place, there's a peacemaker coming on the scene. Out of all the chaos that's going on, out of all the confusion after the rapture, suddenly one man's going to come forward. We don't know who that man is today. We can't know that man today. But there is a good possibility he's very much alive today, being prepared by the wicked one for that day and that hour when he steps forward to bring peace to the world for a short period of time. He's going to be aided by the false prophet, a religious man, with great soothing words bringing calmness and hope to the world, this Antichrist. He's going to be the greatest orator there's ever been. He'd be better than Hitler. He's going to charm the world with his words, with his charisma. Everybody's going to believe him. He will tell the lie. The world will believe. In Thessalonians, it tells us that. And people are going to accept him as their leader. Daniel the prophet warned of this man back in Daniel chapter 11, if you want to read more about him. I'm going to share Revelation 6, 2. And I saw when the Lamb Jesus opened one of the seals, I heard as it were the noise of thunder, and one of the four beasts saying, "Come and see." One of those four beasts around the throne of God hollering, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." He said, "Come and see." And I saw, John said, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given to him. And he went forth conquering and to conquer. He's going to conquer the world without firing a shot. Remember, Khrushchev said he would take America without firing a shot?
Yes, sir.
Back in the 50s, weren't that? Well, this is what the Antichrist is going to do. He's going to come talking peace and suddenly be the great leader of the world. What a deceiver he will be. He's Satan's man prepared for this day and this hour. And people refuse to accept God's Son and Jesus Christ. John 5:43 said, "I'm come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. And if another shall come in his own name, him you will receive." They wouldn't accept Jesus. His followers was few. Compared to the population today, his followers are few. But this man will be accepted. The Antichrist will be gladly welcomed by the world and submit to him as their leader. Just a man we want to lead us. The people do not know what they're getting into when they accept this rider on a white horse. The man of sin will be the most wicked man to ever live. Actually, in the middle of the tribulation, Satan himself will enter into this man. Do you need to say more about wickedness? And when Jesus had opened the second seal, he heard the second beast say, "Come and see." And there went out another horse that was red. First is a white horse bringing peace by that rider. Now there's another horse that's going to follow. He's a horse that's red. And power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth. Suddenly, peace is going to be gone. And they should kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword, Revelation 6, 3 and 4. Suddenly there's going to war break out. And boy, the people that's going to be killed in war. We know how people are killed in war. Think about a war when there's no Holy Spirit to restrain, when no Christians are here to pray. People are going to be slain. It's going to be horrible, folks. Suddenly peace will be gone and all-out war will ensue as the rider on the red horse rushes forward. The horrors of war are great. I see our soldiers now, their legs blowed off, their arms blowed off, their faces mutilated. War! Protecting us!
Yes, sir.
And they're not treated right. With countries like Russia, China, Iran, North Korea, and others loaded with nuclear weapons today, it may be these who seek to increase their greed by taking over other countries to gain more power, and war will be global. But after war, what happens? And when Jesus has opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, "Come and see." And I beheld, and lo, a black horse. First a white horse bringing peace, then a red horse bringing war. Now a black horse, what does he bring? And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, "A measure of wheat for a penny, and a measure of barley for a penny. And see thou hurt not the oil and the wine." Revelation 6, 5 and 6. Following the war, galloping across the world will be this rider on a black stallion bringing famine and starvation to millions of people around the world. And let's remember this, that during the tribulation time, if you want anything, like see the doctor, get medication, get food, you're going to have to take the mark of the beast, 666. If you don't, you can't buy any groceries. You can't see the doctor. You can't get medications. You can't get anything. You're left to starve to death. Food shortages, no medical supplies. People refusing to take the mark of the beast will add to death worldwide. What a pitiful sight to see images of people in third world countries starving even today. And you remember the images of the people, the Jews in the Holocaust? They were just a skeleton standing there, starving. That's the way the tribulation is going to be. Because people wouldn't listen to this book here. People wouldn't listen to God pleading with them, "Repent of your sin." God's not going to play, folks. God's a patient God, but he's been waiting 6,000 years and man won't repent. Lastly, there will be a greenish pale horse whose rider is named Death, and hell is following him. Think about that. Death and hell is following on this greenish, pale, sickly looking horse. What massive death will strike the world? Listen to this. A fourth of the world's population will die when this rider on this greenish, pale horse rides forth. A fourth of the world's population. And may I add this. After 3.5 years of the tribulation, half of the world's population will be dead. Just in the first 3.5 years. And there's got to be 3.5 more. The world is condemned because it's rejected the Son of God, who's the Savior of the world. Isn't that ironic? There's a Savior of the world, but he's rejected. Instead, look what the world has accepted. And what the world accepts, that's what they'll get. Think of that. Jesus was the Savior of the world. He was rejected. And masses of people are dying when this horse with his twin riders, but even worse, think of this. These people are all dying physically. But the Bible says that not only that, but hell is following. These people are dying and going to hell. They failed to repent of their sin. Any of y'all want to live during this time? Only Jesus can keep you from not being here. And like I've said, and I stress, it could happen at any moment. We're raptured. Our world is falling apart. Right before our eyes, as the brother said. Revelation 6, look down at verse 9. And when he, Jesus, had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. They had got saved during the tribulation. They waited too late to get saved, but at least they got saved. But they got killed after they were saved during the tribulation. Understand that. They could have missed that if they'd accepted Christ before. And they cried with a loud voice, these souls under the altar in heaven said, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? Lord, why don't you avenge us of these wicked people that killed us?" And white robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said to them that they should rest yet a little season with their fellow servants also and their brother that should be killed as they were, should be fulfilled. So they are told there's more believers during the tribulation that's going to be killed. Because remember, the Antichrist is in charge. And he hates any believer. He hates Jesus. And you know, he's Satan's man. And Satan one wants to be worshipped instead of Jesus, folks. During the tribulation, there will be a multitude of people saved. But they will lose their lives because of their faith in Jesus. Down through the centuries, many have lost their lives because of their faith in God and in His Son. Millions of people have died for the Lord through the ages. Here we see how hated God's people are, but they die to go rest in the presence of the Savior. And there won't be any more dying. No more pain or suffering. Praise God. Amen?
Amen.
In Revelation chapter 7, look at verses 9 and 10, and it's telling us about this huge number that during the tribulation that will get saved. These two verses. Revelation 7, 9 and 10. After this I beheld, John writes, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne. Worldwide, people will be getting saved, but they'll starved. They'll be persecuted. They'll be killed. But at least they're saved. Aren't you glad you're saved today, though? And you won't have to face that? And that's why we as the church got to get the message out. And cried with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and to the Lamb." They will be those who refuse to take the mark of the beast, which is 666, so they'll be killed or starve. Out of all the confusion and terror of the Antichrist, there's going to be a multitude of people who choose to die rather than to bow to the claim of the great deceiver. That's going to be a hard choice. That's going to be a hard choice. If you take the mark of the beast, you can buy groceries. But if you take the mark of the beast, you're damned forever to hell. Revelation 6, again, look with me in verse 12. And I beheld, boy, now this is something too, folks. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. When you see the adjective great in front of something like earthquake, that means it's extraordinarily great. And this, it was so great, the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heavens departed as a scroll when it is rolled together. Imagine heaven rolling back. I can't even imagine it. And every, listen to this one, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. This is what's going to happen. Can you imagine all those Smoky Mountains, Blue Ridge Mountains? Every one of them is going to be moved out of their place. And all the islands are going to move, all those Hawaiian islands, for example, they're going to all be moved out of their place. And the kings of the earth and the great men, the people that thought they were important and that were in control, amen? And the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and the bondsmen and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountain and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the day of his wrath is come. They knew what was happening. You get that? They knew what was happening. But did they repent? No! You know what? If they would have repented, God would have saved them. Did you all know that? God didn't bring this wrath, or God's not going to bring this wrath just to show he's an angry God. He's doing it to try to get them to repent. He loves them, folks. God loves everybody. He's trying to get people to repent. What's he going to do to get you to repent? And with some people, they are not going to repent. Even with this devastation going on around them, they rather hold on to their sin. What was it Brother Che was trying to tell us this morning about the man over in the prison in California? He just couldn't get Jesus his Lord out. And you could get to the place you can't repent now. Yes, you can reject Christ, so you can't repent. What a terrifying time to be living when this great earthquake shakes the earth. The sun turns black and the moon becomes as blood. Y'all believe this? It's on the horizon, folks. The stars are falling like figs from a wind shaking the tree. I've seen the wind shake my fig tree after it gets little figs on it. And you can look under the tree and there's just little figs all under the tree. And I almost cry to lose my figs off my tree. But God uses that as an illustration. All the great men and the rich men and the chief men hide themselves in the dens, and they pray for the rocks to fall on them, to hide them They're so frightened. Still, they won't repent. All these wicked people realize all this is coming from the wrath of the Lamb. They know it's from the wrath of the Lamb, and still they hold on to their sin. Let me just say, God's not playing. God's giving people time. God's warning and warning and warning. I remember where I was at when those planes hit the Twin Towers in New York. I was rolling into Hamlet, North Carolina, me and Bill Woods going to a fellowship meeting. We didn't know a thing about it. Well, he knew something, but he weren't able to tell me about it for some reason. Bill was a little lacking like me. But we went into Hardee's to get us a biscuit, and there was a screen up there, and those buildings was falling down. And I knew right then God's hand had struck. That's a warning. God said, America, if you don't repent, I'm going to judge you. And I think about how God destroyed New Orleans. I thought about how God has destroyed Texas and Florida. 2 years ago, he started on North Carolina. He'd been on California with all those forest fires. He struck in Las Vegas with that man shooting, killing all those people. I believe these are warnings from God. You better repent. God warns before he brings down judgment. But he won't warn but so long. And then the boom happens. That's the pattern God used when he judged the 10 northern tribes. It's the same pattern God used when he judged Judah. When Nebuchadnezzar came down and took those Jews, they refused to listen to Jeremiah and the prophets. They kept saying, listen, that's the temple of God, and God will not destroy that temple. May I say to you, God destroyed the temple. And they haven't had a temple for many years until Zerubbabel was allowed to build one. And then that one has been destroyed because Jesus said, there's not a single stone be going to remain on a stone. And in 40 years, that temple was gone and been gone 2,000 years. God don't play. God gives time. God hates sin. But God loves people. God says, judge us by strange work. There's no words to describe what's going to be coming to this world. Even those who are saved will suffer greatly because of the severe judgments of God and the rule of the Antichrist. And during those 7 years, God is in the process of eliminating. Listen to this. Listen carefully to what I'm saying. During those 7 years, here's what God is doing. He's eliminating all unsaved people from the world. He's getting rid of all unsaved people. Because he's not going to let a single one of them go into his kingdom. He's not going to let a single one of them go into his kingdom. It's going to be a righteous kingdom. Y'all listening to me today? I'm telling you what this book says. Plagues, disease, starvation, war, persecution, wild animals will be killing people. And billions, with a B, will die during the tribulation. Billions. Because they rejected Christ. Yet there's no reason for anyone to have to face this. Today, this is the Lord's day. The pulpits are filled with God's ministers. God's got ministers out there. It's preaching. I know a ton of them aren't. They'll be pleasing people today, making them laugh. You'll go home just so happy today. Listen, I'm not going to send you out the door happy today. I'm going to send you out with what God's Word says today. I hope you'll be blessed today to know you're saved and you're not going to face what I've been preaching. And I want you to live and tell others they better get right with God. Because judgment's coming on this country. As the brother said a while ago, if the Democrats win one more time, you can kiss her goodbye. And if God lets them win, it'll be God letting them win. Because he's just using them. I've never seen such out of control people in all my life. There is a Savior, praise God. Amen. There is a Savior. I got to know the Savior. I accepted Christ when I was 14. But I was nearly 30 before I really got the victory. I mean, when I was 30, I just needed the Lord. Life was too hard. And I would cry all night to the Lord, all night. Then work all day. But one night, heaven opened up and changed my life. He's real. He loves you. And he loves everybody. I'm a poor preacher. But I'm telling you, you better get right and stay right. He's coming. He's coming. I'm not setting a date, but he's coming. If you got people that you love, you better get their name in the box. You better be praying. You better be pleading. Because he's coming. And the party will be over. Lord God, have mercy. I tried to share the truth of just these six seals. And there's 21 in all that's coming. I've just talked about six of them. And there's going to be 21 in all of the wrath of God on a world that hates God. Hates Christ, hates the Word, but you've appointed a day of your wrath. Lord, let this message sink into the hearts of our people here. We love our people, Lord. Help them to be mindful that we got to be ready, stay ready, and work hard to get out the gospel and share the gospel. Because when it's too late, it's too late. When it's too late, it's too late. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. We want to be a blessing, Lord. Help us, Lord. For your glory. For your glory, Lord. We plead in our Savior's name. Amen and amen. God speak to hearts today. Hey, folks, you wandered away from the Lord. It's time to get back. Get back in step. You've never been in step. It's time to get in step.